I'm going to sound like a broken record, but they fed me again this evening. I was at the Murphy's the other night, and they fed me too much, and so the Rampage tonight just overdid it. And you find out, if you put the food before me, I'm going to eat it. So if I just have to struggle for my breath up here, y'all just bear with me. It was a good supper. I enjoyed it very much. I appreciate all the hospitality y'all have shown us this week. Tonight, I would like to persuade you to exercise your faith more. That's what I want to talk about, is faith. You'll have a fuller life if you start tapping into the potential of a faithful life. The Bible has a lot to say about faith. Of course, we know that. Reading the book of Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The book of Romans says we're made righteous through faith. And the book of Matthew says that if you have faith, nothing shall be impossible to you. So faith plays a big part in our life. In this lesson, hopefully we can see that your faith is not just the things that you believe. It's not just how you think. Faith determines what you do, what you say, what you experience, and what you get out of life. We'll try to look at ways to refine our faith, increase our faith, put our faith into action in a way that pleases God. It has to be an honest faith, though, because you can't have an ulterior motive. That's not the reason for it. It has to be an honest faith from the heart, because an ulterior motive won't work. It has to be God's will. And God doesn't will us to be selfish and materialistic, of course. So it has to be something that He agrees with. You know, He'll very well bless us with material things, because if you remember, Solomon asked for wisdom. That was all he asked for. And God granted him wisdom, but He also gave him a lot of riches, too. He was a very rich man, richest around. So God grants us material things, but that's not the reason we serve Him for that. But He just gives it to us anyway. He just gives us an overabundance of things because He loves us. Fact is that when you walk in faith, you'll experience the blessings of God in your life. More importantly, when you walk in faith, you'll be empowered to be a blessing in the lives of others. That's what faith is about. I can see you, and I can see where you're real faithful, and you're in church every Sunday, and you're always out doing things, and you have an impact on me because of the way you live, because of your faith, so it helps me. So that's what it's about. We're supposed to draw others to Christ, and that's one way of doing it. If you live in faith, it's going to show. People are going to notice if you're a very faithful person. If you're not at that point in your life, I hope this lesson will change us all to develop a faith-based mindset. I know I can increase my faith. I think we can all grow a little bit in faith. I want to challenge you to begin expecting blessings from God in your life. Maybe that's a different way of putting it. But God's promised all these blessings, so we need to expect it. Sometimes we want things from God, and maybe we just don't speak up, we don't ask for it, and we don't get it because we didn't say anything about it. I want to challenge you to begin expecting things, and God will help you. God will protect you. God will use you. There's a lot of things He has in mind for you. He will work through you in spite of the obstacles you might be facing, if you'll just have faith and ask God for it. In Matthew 9, we read some of the miracles that we see that faith can do. Turn with me to Matthew 9, if you will. It begins with a story there. We're not going to read the story. I just want to show you the first couple of verses. It says, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city," talking about Jesus. "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy," paralysis really is what that was, "lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their face, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." He did this because of their faith. That's as far as I want to go with that. Take note, if you will, it was faith that prompted Jesus to heal this man. If somebody's got faith enough to go over there and ask him for something, he appreciates the faith. There's a story of the suffering woman who touched the hem of his garment. We all know the story, but I also want to point out the faith part. This story is paralleled in Mark and Luke, as well as in Matthew. Luke 8 and 43 through 48. Let's read those verses. It says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her life upon living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. came behind him, talking about Jesus, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched or stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" It's probably Peter the one that said this, and the rest of them backed him up. He was always the one that spoke up. Peter was human, wasn't he? So many times he would try to straighten Jesus out. He thought he knew more than Jesus a lot of times. He'd speak up, and he'd always put his foot in his mouth. But I find it a little humorous when you look at the picture here, what happened. Peter's saying pretty much, paraphrasing there, he's saying, "Lord, there's a crowd of people all around you. They're pushing you from all sides, and you want to know who touched you?" You know, he just didn't understand the concept. I don't think Jesus paid him any attention. Jesus wanted to commend the woman for her faith. That was the reason he asked that. Verse 46, and Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that he was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him for all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort." And notice this, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Whole, go in peace. Again, we see that faith played a big part in this. He said, "Your faith has made you whole." If she hadn't come forward, she wouldn't have been healed. You have to admire this woman's faith. It makes you wonder, had you been there in the situation she was in, where women were sort of second to men, you know, and they were not in the public eye too much, and they didn't just walk up to Jesus, pretty much. They weren't allowed to. They're still overseas like that. The woman kind of walks behind the man. So if you see where she was, it took a lot of faith on her part just to walk up in the crowd and touch his garment. Makes me wonder, if I'd had that much faith, would we have had that much faith had we been there to do what she did? Do we have that kind of faith today as much as what she showed at the time? You might say, well, we can't reach out and touch Jesus like she did, so if we could, we might have more faith. Well, I believe the scriptures tell us that we can touch Jesus. Hebrews 4 and 15, talking about Jesus, says we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We don't touch his garment, but we touch his heart. But if you think about it, that's what she did. She didn't physically touch Jesus himself, but she touched his heart because he felt for her infirmity. So it's exactly the same thing he did for her that he'll do for us today. We can touch him just very well, as much as she did. He can certainly be touched today, and he certainly responds to faith today as much as he did then. He takes notice of faith big time. That's what Christian life is all about, is faith. So we've got to have that. That's first and foremost. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Then there's a story there of the synagogue ruler. We learn in the Gospel of Mark that his name was Jairus, whose daughter had just died. Jesus went into the man's house and raised the little girl from the dead. Then Matthew tells a very brief story about two blind men who asked Jesus to heal them. Jesus did, and he also taught a lesson about faith. Let's read that if you're there in Matthew 9, that's verses 27 through 30. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, it be unto you. And their eyes were opened. Now today, some of you may be in need of a miracle. Sometimes we all have problems. You never know who's got what problem. Maybe you need your eyes. Maybe you're having problems. Maybe you need glasses. Maybe you need surgery with your eyes. Maybe you need your health restored, your family restored, your business, your hope restored. So many things. Maybe you need a lot of help in your life. Maybe you need God to move in your life, to do things that you cannot do for yourself. We're limited as to what we can do. Just like this woman was limited, she went to all those doctors, but they couldn't help her. Brother Bill's going Monday there to the heart doctor, and we hope things go well with him. But I know he's going to pray to God before he goes. He's going to show faith before he goes. God's going to be on his side. That's more important than the doctor, isn't it? But you know that that's where the life of faith begins. When you need things, there are things in your life that you need, that you stand in need of, and you cannot help yourself. There's lots of things that we cannot do. We've got to call on the Lord for that. The vacancy in your life is there. It's a call. It's a call, a wake-up call, pretty much, to get you to start a life of faith. You know, if everything was just rosy all the time, then we wouldn't have to worry about it. We would just go on doing what we wanted to. We'd kind of forget about God. Might not even come to church. But there's problems in this life, and I think a lot of times that's the reason. Where your provision ends is where faith can begin. We need to realize that. The vacancy then in these men's lives were very obvious. They couldn't see. They were blind. There was a problem there that they could not solve themselves. Nothing they could do. They just had to live with this. They were in need of a miracle from God. It was at the point that of their needs is what caused the opportunity here for them to show their faith. Sometimes when that's the case, we need to step up and show God how much faith we have. Too many times we say, "Whoa, pitiful is me. Why is this happening to me?" We started moaning and crying rather than just stepping up and show God that we believe that he'll heal us, he'll take care of us, and he'll straighten us out. That's the way he wants us to react. A lot of it depends on us. God can do anything he wants to, but it depends on how we approach him and what we do and if we show any faith. Might be the same for some of us tonight. We may have a vacancy in our life. Might be some need we need to have met, something that we can't do, vacancy there in a relationship. Maybe you want to share your life with someone you hadn't even met yet. Many of us already have a spouse. You may have a sense of vacancy in your marriage. Maybe you're just kind of cold and despondent. You don't talk as much as you used to. You don't communicate the way you should. Maybe you need God to intervene. Maybe you've tried to solve the problem and you just can't. God's the answer. God's the answer to any problem we have. We need to step up and show faith. Might be some of you are struggling with financial problems, job situation. Maybe you've done all you can do there and it's just not enough. It's out of your hands. There's just so much you can do. The economy is bad today, isn't it? You need God's help. It's at this point of helplessness that you see an opportunity to start living by faith. That's when you should have. So a lot of people lose faith when that happens. They go right backwards. Things start going wrong, they just lose faith. Well, I've been going to church and look what's happened to me. I'm just going to give up and going to quit. God's just testing you sometime to see if you've grown any all this time you've been in church. Don't quit. Here's time for you to step up and show what faith you've got. Show God what you're made of. Show him that you appreciate what he's done so far. And if he wants to test you, say, "God, here am I. Just go ahead and test me, because I know that you're doing it for my own good." I'd go as far to say that sometimes God allows these vacancies on purpose just to test us. I think that's the case a lot of times, just to see if we do have any faith, if we're worth our salt. When we learn to trust him, then his power is demonstrated in our lives. You know, if you go through a struggle like that, and you come out a winner and you see and you know full well that God is the one that helped you through it. You know that there was nothing you could do. You were helpless. God helped you through it. Once he gets you through it, then you can tell a lot of people about that. You can testify to that fact. God helped me through this. You know, I mentioned the other night about answered prayers. You know good and well when God answers your prayer. You don't have to wonder. You know when he answered your prayer. It humbles you. If you're asking for something in faith when you've got something that you can't do anything with, doctors can't do anything with, nobody else, and you're just at his mercy, and he comes through for you when you stand up with faith, then you know he did it. There's no wondering. This is not accidental. God did it. Do you feel helpless about anything tonight? Is anything missing in your life? Do you have a vacancy that you can't fill by your own strength? Nobody else can help you with? Here's what I encourage you to do. Start expecting God to do something about it. Expect him to fix it for you. Remind yourself that God's in control. He loves you and He wants to provide for you. We know that sometimes, but it's easy to say that when things are going good. When it's going bad, sometimes we forget that. God hasn't forgotten you. He's waiting for you to turn to Him, to trust Him, to put your faith in His power. This vacancy in your life, this sense of helplessness, is a call to put your faith in action. Like I said, I think He does this sometimes just to try our faith. You know, He tried Abraham's faith, and he passed with flying colors, didn't he? I'd hate to be put to the test that he was put to. We have a lot less tests than that, don't we? We're not asked to kill our own son as he was asked. 1 Peter 1 and 7 says that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found with praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So He does try us. That's what He's saying there. He said He does try us. And if we pass with flying colors as Abraham did, then we'll be rewarded for it when Jesus comes. We're just laying up treasure. Here's another thing I want to mention. God responds through your faith. We see this in every miracle in Matthew 9. I read some of those stories there to start with just on purpose, just to show you. Especially the story of the two blind men, paraphrasing what Jesus asked them. He said, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" That's what He asked them. He didn't just say, "Okay, sit down here, I'm going to restore your sight. You came in here asking, so I'm going to give it to you because I love you, I'm Jesus, and I can do it, I have the ability." He said, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" You know, I wonder if they'd have said, "Well, we've heard about some of the people you've healed, and we thought we might have a chance if we come in here." I wonder if He would have healed them. You get them. You know, I can't second guess what Jesus might do, but you get the opinion that He might not have been as willing to do it as quickly. They replied, "Yes, Lord." They believed fully. That's why they tracked Him down. Then He touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." Think about that. He says, "According to your faith it will be done to you." So they played a big part in this. Jesus didn't say, "Okay, since you believe, I'm going to heal you." He says, "According to your faith, it will be done to you." Not according to your needs, not according to your wants, but according to your faith. A lot of times we let Him know what we need, what we want, but we don't show too much faith. But when you read this, you realize sometimes maybe we were a little short in doing that. Jesus is saying you will receive from God what you expect to receive. You have to expect it. Sometimes we don't expect. We just kind of muddle along and we think, "Well, God knows what I need. He knows what I want. He's taking care of me. And I'm not going to bother Him. I'm not going to ask for anything." He wants us to ask. He wants us to show faith and step up. These men received their sight because they had faith that Jesus could and would heal them. That's why they received it. He acted according with their faith. Let me ask you a question. What do you expect from God? What do you expect? What do you believe He will do for you? You say in your hearts of hearts that there's no way God's going to send somebody special in my life. He's not going to heal me. He's not going to provide for me. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy. Well, you know, if you have that mindset, He might not help you. If you don't believe in Him, if you don't have faith in Him, you're backing up. I'm challenging you to raise your level of expectation. No matter what you got going on in your life, look at your needs in your life and practice saying, "God, you can do something about this. I know you can handle this situation, and I want you to handle this situation. I'm trusting you." Say that openly to Him. Don't just mumble it under your breath and just kind of wish that He'd do something. Just look up and say, "God, I trust you to do this. I know you can, and I want you to do this." You know, if you just say it like that, it will show more faith. God wants you to show your faith. Sound more like you're in fellowship with Him, doesn't it? You know, I got to mention that every once in a while. This is supposed to be about fellowship. I never have been one to do the same lesson every night and do a continuation. But I think it goes along with fellowship. If you're in fellowship with God, you're certainly going to have faith in Him. You're going to have to talk to Him. We've got to talk to God, let Him know our needs. He wants to help us, but He wants us to know and understand that we've got to ask Him. He wants us to come to Him. He gives us a lot of blessings that we don't even ask for. He helps us so many times, but He wants us to realize that we're nothing without Him, and that He wants us to realize that we need to call on Him, because that's what He's there for. He's there for us, and He wants to guide us along and help us in this walk. Talk to Him, have fellowship with Him. And so when we fall short of that, we let Him down. He still sends the sunshine and rain, feeds and clothes us and gives us so much, but He's a little disappointed in us when we don't talk to Him and ask Him for things and show faith. Faith is very, very important. You see this again and again and again in the Gospels. Jesus responds to faith. That's why He said, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. That's paraphrased in Matthew 21 and 22. It's a very good verse, one of my favorite ones. You know, you say that a lot of times. One of my favorite verses is usually whatever I'm talking about at the time, but that is one of my all-time favorite verses. If you believe, then you will receive. If you believe what you're asking for, God will give it to you. That's faith. That's all it is. You can ask all day without faith and probably won't get it. And He says in so many words, paraphrases again, if you have faith as a small mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to yonder, and it will be moved. Nothing will be impossible for you. Matthew 17, 20 and 21. I don't know if anybody has ever had that much faith. I've never seen them tell this mountain to be moved over yonder, and it was moved. So we all need to grow in faith. When you look at that very verse there, you know good and well that would be possible if we had that much faith. None of us have that much faith. That's why He said in today's story, according to your faith, it will be done to you. God responds to your faith. What does that mean? What kind of faith does He respond to? Well, faith begins with an attitude of expectation, like I said. An expectation that God will work out things for the best. He might not give you what you want the way you want it. He'll give it to you the way you need it. But He'll respond to you if you'll ask, and He will take care of it. Even when the bottom's falling out from under you, when that's happening, you need God especially. That's when a lot of people will call on Him. They might have been a little timid and shy before and didn't come to God, tried to handle everything themselves. But when the bottom's falling out, people don't even go to church. They'll start praying to God. Faith is having confidence that God will see you through, and He will ultimately bring good things into your life. But faith always includes corresponding actions when you're asking God for something. You need to do a little something yourself rather than just sit there and ask Him to do everything. In the miracle stories of Matthew, each person Jesus healed put themselves in a position where He could heal them, where He could help them. They weren't just forgetting about wherever they were or whatever. The paralyzed man's friends brought him to Jesus. That's what happened. They brought him over there so Jesus could heal him. If they hadn't, then he couldn't have. He wouldn't have. He wouldn't have even seen him. So they put yourself in a position to be healed. The suffering woman eased her way through the crowd. You can imagine the multitude of people surrounding around Jesus. She had to really squirm and twist and try to get over there. She inched her way through the crowd to get to Jesus. She did something. She had faith and she acted on her faith. The synagogue leader, where his daughter had died, he invited Jesus to his home. He made an effort to get Jesus there where he could perform the miracle. Two blind men approached Jesus not once but twice. They were following him there on the street, and then he went on into the house. They went on into the house and followed him there, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he went indoors, like I said, they went on in behind him. What were they doing? They were positioning themselves for a miracle. They were making it possible, doing everything they could so that Jesus would do the miracle for them. They had faith that He would do it, but they knew if they needed to be healed, they needed to be where Jesus was. If Jesus was on one side of town, they were on the other, they weren't going to get healed. If He was in the building there and they were on the street, they weren't going to be healed. So they made every effort to get where He was, even though they had to just keep on following Him. You have to look for ways to demonstrate your faith. I think if we look for ways to demonstrate our faith, God will supply plenty of ways for us. Just ask Him. Say, God, show me some ways to let me show you I'm faithful. But don't ask that unless you're prepared to do it. If you want God's help with your relationships, start taking steps to put yourself in a position where He can help you with that. Talk to your significant other, whatever you got problems with. If you want God to provide you with a job, fill out a resume and start going to the unemployment office and talking to people about a job. Pursue all the opportunities that come along. Do what you can. Faith begins with an attitude of positive expectation of the goodness of God. And it's increased with corresponding actions. Somebody said one time, said if you're praying for a bountiful harvest, you need to plant a garden. I don't have a garden, but if I go home tonight and pray to God that I'll have bunches of tomatoes and corn and okra and all this, you know, he's going to, I might get my way clear on into heaven because he's lost it, you know. You got to do what you can, plant a garden if you're going to pray for a harvest. That's sort of simple, isn't it? But that's the way it is. Whining and moaning about what you need or what you want and don't have is not good enough. In fact, that's the worst thing we can do. You know, we've been blessed so much already, and whatever it is that's bothering us now, if we don't get that, we're still so far blessed, all we can do is thank God. Don't whine and moan and complain. Don't ever do that. But if you do that, that's certainly not going to get you any help. That's not what He wants. God cares about your needs. He wants to meet your needs, and He wants to meet the desires of your heart. He wants to give them to you. There's no question about that. What I want you to understand is He responds to your faith. Another thing I want you to see is you can go only as far as your faith will take you. So when you look at it like that, you need to increase your faith. If you got a little faith, you're not going to go very far. So if you're only going to go as far as your faith will take you, then increase your faith. Ask God to increase your faith. Help you increase your faith. Believe in God. Trust Him and ask Him for more and more and more responsibility. You know, we get in situations a lot of times. Some people can't handle their money. I worked with a fellow one time. He was a young boy. He's just a poor boy and he's always broke. Didn't have any money. But he got a little windfall. His dad had died several years back, and they put up a trust fund for him. But he couldn't get this until he was 21 years old. The thinking was that when he got to be 21 years old, he'd be mature and he could handle the money and responsibility. He'd be grown up. Of course, that wasn't the case. I don't remember exact amount, but he got several thousand dollars when he got 21. He finally got the money. He went straight and bought a new car, bought him a motorcycle, and he was spending money right and left. And I don't remember the exact date, of course, several years ago. He was about broke again a month or so. He'd spent all his money. Still had the car and the motorcycle and some other stuff. But he spent it all. He was broke again. I heard Paul Harvey talking one time about a homeless man in Chicago. He said he won the lottery, a couple million dollars. Whatever it was, I can't remember exactly. It was over a million. He said he was homeless, and he won this, and he said 1 year later, he said he was back homeless and broke a year later after winning $1 million or $2. That just boggled my mind when I heard that. But you know, this happens with a lot of lottery winners. If you read about statistics, people who have won the lottery, a lot of them, they blow that money and they're broke again. Most of them end up broke. It happens a lot of times to people that lose weight. They'll go on a diet and lose weight, slim down a little bit, and they'll gain it back and a little more besides. Why does it happen? Because one reason is many people, in spite of their improved circumstances, they never really change. They're still the same people that they were. That wino that was homeless, that was his mentality. He was still a homeless man, no matter if he did have $1 million. He didn't change. They never learned to change their expectations about what's possible for them. so they don't change. The Message version of the Bible, Jesus' words to the blind man are expressed in a unique way. When the men came to him asking to receive their sight, he asked, "Do you believe that I can do this?" See, one reason people don't change is because they don't have enough faith. They don't have any faith in God. They just think whoever they are is what they're going to be from now on. They never learn to change because God is the only one that can change you. Circumstances won't change you. We could all have $1 million tonight. We might not all blow it. But if we're not used to money, I'm not used to $1 million myself. It might not change me a bit. I might still just be whoever I am. Circumstances won't change who you are. Nothing won't change who you are but God. God can change who you are. Just like when the blind men came to him, he said, "Do you believe I can do this?" I don't know what's happening with this. But what you believe plays a huge part in this. I'm trying to be still there. I apologize. Another way of expressing this is, according to your faith, it will be done to you. That's another way of putting it. After reading this, I can't help but wonder how many blessings I have missed by not expecting enough. Maybe my faith wasn't strong enough. Maybe I missed a lot of blessings in the past. God was going to bless me several times, and I didn't just step up with any faith. I just sat back and kind of wished he would give me this or that, and didn't expect anything, didn't ask for it, didn't show any faith, and I didn't get anything. I wish he would hit me with this microphone at the minute. This is happening right now to each one of us. We're all becoming what we believe, every one of us. We're becoming what we believe, what we expect. If you believe that God is for you, if you believe that God is working out the details in your life for you, even the difficult situations in your life, if you believe that, for His good and for His glory, you'll experience this in your daily life, if you believe that. If you believe God is at work in you, changing you, making you holy, conforming you into the image of Christ, if you believe that, then that's slowly happening. If you believe that, God is doing that. If you believe that God is waiting to pour out blessings in your life, that He's eager to fill your life with good things, you will experience that in your life if you're expecting that, if you believe that, if you have faith in that. On the other hand, if you believe that life's just a cruel joke, you're not going anywhere, nothing ever matters, nothing good's going to happen to you anyway, and guess what? That's what you're going to experience in your daily life. You'll become what you believe. According to your faith, it will be done to you. That's Jesus' words. You can only go as far as your faith is strong enough to take you. Before you get that financial windfall, before you meet that significant other, the one you're looking for, that opportunity in that job that you're looking for, before you do all of that, you need to develop faith in God's ability to take care of you. You need to strengthen your faith as you're asking for these things or as you're waiting for whatever it is that you want. God will help you with it, but He wants to see you through it, but He wants you to be a part of it. He doesn't want to just hand it to you. He won't appreciate it. But if you have faith and you struggle with it and you pray to God and God helps you with it and it's sort of drawn out and your faith grows because of the circumstances you've been in, you suffered a little bit, you'll appreciate it a lot more. A lot better than if He just handed it to you. He didn't just hand Jesus anything, did He? Jesus suffered and went through a lot. Jesus worked. This was the Son of God. What did He expect of Him? He expected a lot out of Jesus. But if you look around the other way, Jesus expected a lot out of Him. Jesus couldn't have done what He did without Him. And if Jesus couldn't, certainly we can't. As we pointed out, inheriting money, winning the lottery, whatever, will not change you. It won't do anything for you at all. You just got money. That's all. Your circumstances will not change you. It's your faith in God that will change you. You will become what you believe. It's your faith in God that will change you. It will change your circumstances. It will make you a better person. That's the only thing that's going to work. You know, some people go to the doctor needlessly. You've seen people like this. They're hypochondriacs. There's just always something wrong with them. They'll go to the doctor, get in their minds that they're sick, and there's nothing wrong with them. They go in there, and the doctor, he'll check all the vital signs there, check the blood work, do x-ray, whatever, and he sees there's nothing wrong with them. So you know what he does? He gives them, he'll call the nurse in there and say, give them a water shot. Just a shot of water, nothing. Give them placebo pills. You know why he does that? He does that because it works. You know why it works? It works because they've got faith in the doctor, they've got faith in that shot, and they got faith in those fake pills. They believe it's helping them, so it helps them. It's a mind thing. Faith. So what I want you to see is, if this can work on a natural level like that in a doctor's office, imagine how much more it can occur on a spiritual level when you have faith in God, a real God. This is not fake pills. This is not a fake shot. This is God, an all-powerful, all-loving God. When you put your faith in Him, look how much you can accomplish. In conclusion, my sincere hope is for each one of us, as a body of believers, we can all grow in faith. We can be stronger in faith next week than we are now. Next year, a lot more than we are now. Get in the habit of expecting things from God. Ask God for things. Expect it. Don't just say, well, I don't deserve it anyway. Ask Him just ask Him. Come to His throne of grace boldly. Boldly means He wants us to come up there and ask Him. That doesn't mean arrogantly. That's two different settings there. Boldly means that you just come to Him expecting it. God has promised us these things, and it shows that we believe Him if we come boldly and we're expecting it. If we don't, it's like we don't believe Him. You see what I'm saying? God wants to bless you. He wants to demonstrate His goodness and mercy where you're most vulnerable. Places where you need Him the most, where you cannot do anything for yourself, where you're most helpless. He wants to bless you. We see it in the Gospels over and over again. He was waiting to respond to your faith. Do you need anything? Are you having problems? Is there anything God can help you with? You need to ask. Tell God about it. Ask Him about it. If it's very, very, very important to you, God will help you with it if you'll have faith. That's a requirement. Too many times we ask without faith. According to your faith, it will be done to you. This means that you can go as far in life as far as your faith will take you. Become what you believe. So let's decide now to put our faith in God, especially in the areas of the greatest needs, and let His power work through us. He wants to work through us. If you'll do that, if one of us in here, one of us will just do that, and the rest of us see it, you're going to be an inspiration to us. God's going to appreciate you asking. He's going to appreciate you showing the rest of us. He's going to want to help you to let the rest of us see what faith can do, what God can do. That's my lesson. Hope maybe that you might be encouraged to be more faithful in your fellowship with God. If anyone here desires the service of the church for whatever reason, if you need prayer for strengthening or reinstate you back, or if you need baptism, whatever, we'll be glad to help you as we stand and as we sing. We stand and as we sing. We stand and as we sing. We stand and